Sponsored by vivagreen-greensacks.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Simon's in the studio, Mike's going live.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Brian Green with you until 3:30 with himself, Peter Donegan, doing Interview of the Week. That's coming up in a little moment's time. First, let's say hello, good afternoon, and thanks to our sponsors, Greensacks, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at viva-greensacks.com. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop Greensacks into your trolley. Coming up on today's programme, David Williams from Goal and Joan Mallon, who built the Goal Garden at Bloom, will be talking with Peter Donegan. Don't go away. Also, we have Song of the Week, which is always a hotly contested choice, usually made by me. And I know David Essex was played last week and Peter Donegan was like going, yeah, what? David Essex? But anyway, it kind of fitted in. We played it early. But this week's song from 1965, no more clues than that. But it's going to fit in with today's show quite nicely. If you have anything to get in touch with The Sod Show about, the way to do it during the show is on Twitter at Sod Show. And if it's during the week and you're listening to the podcast or you're far away and abroad listening to us, you can email us during the week, info@sodshow.com. You can check out the back catalogue of shows at sodshow.com. This is show number 213, which means we're here just a little bit over 4 years. I know we should be getting better at it, and that doesn't seem to be happening. Well, that's what the judges in the PPI Awards told us. Okay, let's get to today's programme and let's talk with Peter Donegan. Peter Donegan, are you in Bloom? Come in, over.
It's another Friday afternoon. I am in a garden, and to my right is David Williams, who is of Goal Ireland. We'll get back to that in a minute. And also my company is?
Joan Mallon, designer of the Goal Garden.
Joan, I'll start with the accent. It's not a Dublin one, and we're airing on Dublin radio in podcast. Are people outside of Ireland may be asking where you're from, and that's my wry sense of humour.
Well, I live in Dunleary, but I'm originally from County Galway.
How did a County Galway woman end up in Dunleary designing a garden at Bloom for Goal?
Well, I've been in Dublin 25 years, and I still haven't managed to shift the accent, but I've been a garden designer for about 5 years now. I had a previous life, another career in theatre and arts administration, but with a downturn and with redundancy, I changed course and retrained, and here I am at Bloom.
Where did you go to study, can I ask?
CFE Dundrum.
A fine college indeed. Who's out there over you?
Monica Alvarez.
I know Monica extremely well. The pairing with Goal, we had this with Louise McLaughlin of Bordbia, and we discussed about designers and I guess in a sense one might call it sponsors coming in saying, you know, it's like a who asked who up the dance first kind of a thing, nearly. Should you be into mangoes, if you remember that one? I do indeed, on a Tuesday night, if you don't mind. Who came to who first? How did it all work out?
I saw the canvases. It's when the companies and the charities put out and look for a designer to design a garden for them. And there was a number of them going around, and but the only one that interested me was the Goal canvas.
Why?
Because it had a soul and it had a message, and it just really appealed to me. I had done some work on the fair trade movement a few years ago, and it just hooked me in and took me further and took me all the way to Nairobi.
Yeah, okay, so we're gone from, Galway, Tullamore? No, it's not Tullamore, I'm only joking. To Dunleary, to Dublin, to Nairobi. The journey to Nairobi, why, how? How did that all happen?
Well, it was kind of Dave's idea. One of our first meetings, when we decided that I would get the design and go ahead with it, I said, what would you think about going out there? I kind of thought he was joking, but then he actually meant it. And I needed to go. I needed to see it, to authenticate it, to see for myself. I mean, as I keep saying, internet research will only take you so far. You actually have to go see the sites, see what's growing on the side of the road. Nobody could tell me that. Lots of people have been, but they couldn't tell me what was growing on the side of the road.
The garden, and again, I was talking to Dave earlier on. We'll get to Dave and the fantastic work that Cole do in just a moment. But I know South Africa, where I was for 3 years running with another charity. It's the first time I've seen a steel shack with a hair salon sign outside. To put that into context, in show gardening terms, it's, well, you're talking to the wrong man, or maybe the right man for walking upon dangerous territory in show gardening land. But it's not really show gardening. And just to explain to people, just in a sense, there's a methodology, if it's okay to suggest that, for achieving goals. Do you like that? Wow. And subliminal messaging. Meow, meow, meow. And achieving that gold medal. And I guess to quote myself, and not to refer to another garden designer solely for that reason, but pink boats or bendy lines, in short, don't really get that. You're not even bendy lines. You're steel sheds. Yours is slightly uncouth, if you might call it that. Pause, in show gardening terms. However, a true reflection of where you were, I guess.
Okay, I need to keep up with that there. It's not your standard show garden. I think that's what you're trying to get at. Yeah. We're in concept category, so we had a bit of license to do a bit more beyond the standard show garden thing. But ultimately, that was the challenge. That was the challenge all along, was to find that point between the true reality of what I saw and what I had researched and bringing it into a show garden context. And believe me, it kept me awake many nights to try and find that point.
Is that, and if you don't mind me suggesting, but just to stick with the garden designer as a profession, you take a photograph of a garden at show garden level, without metal aside, just for the moment, and it's got steel shacks and varying bits and bobs and bits of what I can only describe as steel used for reinforcing concrete as a supportive structure. That, bearing in mind of what you do for a living, is dangerous waters, more so in the aftermath of bloom.
Well, the steel shacks, and they were here. They were in the design before I even went to Nairobi, but they found their purpose after the trip, with the Gold Kenya staff were saying, we need the shop, you need the trading. This is the community, this is the society, so we needed to show that. So before I went, they didn't have a purpose. When I came back, we reassigned the shacks to the shop, the chicken house, the hairdressers, the toilet. Well, the toilet was always going to be in, because that was really important.
But if you understand the point I'm getting at, Joan, they're ultimately, for a garden designer, and this isn't to be disrespectful to Goal in any way, but if you were to build a nice garden with books of semperfire or box hedging and some nice patios and paving, it ultimately might have done you more favours from a work perspective after bloom. Is that a fair way to ask that question?
Perhaps, yeah, but this garden was a labour of love, and it is what it is, and I don't make any apologies for it. If people don't see me as a proper designer because of this garden. I think that's what you're trying to say, is it?
No, not in any way. You're talking to a guy who put a very large pink boat in the middle of a garden. So, no, you know, it's not really about that. And we spoke to Niall Maxwell, who did one based on, you know, Peterhouse and essentially what one could surmise as depression. And it's a little bit, yes, that is that. But then, as Niall and myself would also have discussed, knowing each other extremely well, I sell, in short, putting pounds, shilling and pence after it, as my dad would say, sunshine, happiness and beautiful gardens. Your career, and I guess if I was to look at your last garden to differentiate, if we're okay to discuss that, what was your last garden in bloom, and could you contrast one with what you are doing now?
Sure. My last garden last year was Cape Cod Escape, and that was a personal thing. I was just very taken by the beauty of the landscape and the area of New England. I loved it. It was just a personal thing. This is different. Doing it for a charity is quite a different thing. It's a huge honour, but with that honour comes great responsibility. So, you know, there is an onus on you to deliver. So,
to take the Cape Cod Escape one, that would have been more, how would you say, honeymoon-style gardening. Very much so, yes?
Oh, yeah, very romantic, very whimsy. People We're very warm towards it. I'm about other places. I like getting off the island. I like destinations. So I'm not going to come up with the box bowls and the deep pools and, you know, mosaic walls or whatever it is. That's not my thing. My thing is otherness, other places.
Okay. We're going to pause it there for just 1 minute. Brian, it is back to you in the studio. You might bear this beautiful garden in mind. We'll get to the horticultural side of it and a little bit of goal in just a minute. Give me a song of the week if you can.
Yes, Peter, I've got song of the week. Influenced by the interview, you mentioned reinforcement coming out of steel bars coming out of concrete. Reinforcement bars. That's my line of business. Well, it used to be about 20 years ago. Concrete and reinforcement bars, and they're high tensile steel, twisted, shape 20, T20s, T41s coming up out of the concrete, ready for the next pour off the shutter. Peter, if you ever want some reinforced concrete detailing, I'm your man. Actually, I'm not. That's why I don't work in that business anymore. There are some buildings around Dublin that I detailed, and I don't go into them. This is a related song, and it's kind of fitting for the lovely garden that you're talking about from Goal. Would have been suitable for the Pieta House one too, because a lot of concrete going on in bloom this year. This is Unit 4 Plus 2 from 1965, April 1965, UK number one, Concrete and Clay.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning, and you to me. That's the way it's meant to be.
Okay, part two of the show, still in my company. It's David and Joan, David of Gold. David, the garden itself, it is to the nice parts. It's a fine garden. It was noted on the Sod Show Twitter account on Friday, bloom morning, as a recommended to go see. It is horticulturally perfection in every single way. It's got parts in it that are hugely admirable, and yet it's got a sense of genuineness and from the heart about it. I guess the question is, as the sponsor of the garden, or the name above the door, if it's okay to call it that, is it a true reflection of what Goal wanted? I mean, how, you know, bigger up here, but how well did Joan do in that department?
We couldn't have wished for more with this garden. We really couldn't. And I say that I work in Dunleary in head office. I wouldn't be a true aid worker in the sense that I wouldn't work overseas for any length of time. But what kind of won it over for me was we had Fiona Gannon up here for the last 2 days. Now, Fiona is Gold's longest serving member of staff, and she has been everywhere. She has been Africa, she has been Central America, Haiti, she has been all over the world. And she said, it's just like you would see in a slum area, in an informal urban settlement. We also had two girls up here on Wednesday for the media day who are from Nairobi. And I met them about 50 yards away from the garden. And once they saw the garden, they actually stopped and they said, oh my God, it just looks like home. It just looks like what you'd see. And they actually got quite emotional when they got up here. It really was big. So as far as Goal is concerned, and everybody is saying it here, all our staff, we have about 25 volunteers over the 5 days, everybody's coming on, and all these people, well, the vast majority of the people we have on the site as volunteers are saying this is absolutely what you would see. It really represents a slum area, and obviously Joan has, in terms of the bag gardening and the micro gardening, which are very important, Joan and the team have done a fantastic job.
Joan, to the horticultural side of it, I'm just looking at the hens in the background. Sorry, I'm getting distracted as I look around. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to keep the brain kind of trickling over, and it kind of reminds me when I was about 12 years of age, and I had only a certain amount of money earned from grass cutting. I used to go to the secondhand bookstores and get the books that they didn't have colour photographs. They had illustrations drawn almost in by pencil, the old 1940s, 1950s books. But it taught you almost how to do the very simplistic realistic version of how things could and should maybe be done. Can you tell me what you have in the garden?
In terms of elements, the focus is on the sack gardening and the micro gardening, on growing. And that was the starting point. It was potential, not poverty. And that was one of the hooks that drew me in, this idea of growing. It's a thing that's very close to my own heart. That's a lot of the work I do, is getting people growing. So there's the micro gardens constructed from pallets. There's the sack gardens, very simply. And people are really interested in them here at Bloom. They can be done in Ireland. They can be grown on your doorstep. You know, you don't even have to have a balcony to do them. So they're the key, you know, real, possible, doable elements. But our wowzer factor is our growing wall, and that's the one that's attracting all the attention.
We seem to have a little bit of a buzzword with growing walls there, in a sense. I say it, I'm hesitant to think that it's got the same acclaim maybe as biodiversity, at least in Ireland. Yours again is slightly different because it's not I guess coming with a how would you say, if you had a growing wall maybe down in on Inishmore, and not to be disrespectful to Inishmore, also former guest of the show, the entire island that is, but you know, it might be done in a different way, in a sense, in a hotel in Ireland, maybe, let's call it that. Your growing wall is constructed out of what?
Vegetable grates, chicken wire, and hessian. That's it.
That simple?
Yeah, that's simple. And the idea came from, I had this notion for like an edible house, not like the gingerbread house in Ansel and Gretel. It was actually one made of vegetables. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do a growing, an edible house. So I had this idea and I just thought, okay, we're in show garden, we're in concept, let's do something. We didn't have any height with structure, trees or any of that stuff, because there is no trees. It'd be kind of a nod to it with the bananas. Would have liked bigger ones, but we couldn't get them. So the growing wall is our little, you know, feature, I suppose. It's the standout feature, I think. And the fact that we were able to pull it off with those reclaimed everyday materials was a big buzz. And I have to give huge thanks to Pat Hennessy of Hennessy's Nurseries in Ballylanders, who figured it all out and just brought it all together. He took the ball and ran with it. He didn't want to know me at first, but I had to actually drove down and went after him and brought him on. So it's thanks to Pat that we have what we do.
Ballylanders in Limerick?
It's Limerick, yeah, sorry. It was near Mitchellstown, but it's Limerick. I don't know, it's down that neck of the woods. He'll forgive me that.
No, you're grand. I haven't heard of Ballylanders in a long time. Very fond memories of staying down there. Not much to stay in down there now, mind you, but there's a bit to stay in down there. If you were to leave this garden in Nairobi, and I guess the question is, how would it fit in? And I know we've touched on it in a sense, but as I look around, there are orange flowering and red flowering, and there are living walls, and you know, how would it all blend in? And you mentioned the girls from Nairobi who came up and saw it. How again, just to put it into context, close to home, has Joan hit the brief? And I must underline this, for all show gardens, there is a garden design brief set forward by the I'll call it sponsor for the minute, but that's essentially you. How close to the nail has she really struck it?
Jonas hit the brief dead on, absolutely. And what we said was at the very, very start that this would be a representative of some of the work we do in informal settlement, not just in Kenya, not just in Africa, but also in the likes of Port-au-Prince, in Calcutta, and also in, say, in Freetown and Sierra Leone and in other places around the world. It could be representative of work that other agencies do in the favelas in Rio, for example. So we were never, ever going to have a true slum. What would you actually see if you did go into Makuru informal settlement in Nairobi? You couldn't possibly have it at Bloom. You wouldn't get people within 50 yards of it, for example. The smells coming out of it at Bloom would drive people away. But what we wanted to do was have elements of some of the things that we're doing. And all the elements here, everything you see, the bag gardening, the micro gardening, to a lesser extent, the growing wall, but it's something that people are doing and we want to do a bit more of. But the bag gardening, the micro gardening, that's all happening now. It's all about making the most of the space you have. There's a billion people living in informal urban settlements or slums, the more popular word at the moment. There's 1.4 billion expected to be living there by 2020. Most of the people moving there are young people, their children. They're either moving into existing settlements or they're creating new settlements. And, you know, we have to, when we're looking at urban planning and redevelopment, we have to be cognizant of that, of all these people moving in, and we have to make sure that they have as much as we can provide for them, and we work with these families. So they're providing for their families with bag gardening. Water and sanitation is as good as it can be. Healthcare, nutrition, obviously, as well. So that's all. That's the kind of message we're trying to give out here. That, and also as well, which is very good for people who are coming to Bloom, is that it's not just places like Nairobi that you can use bag gardening or micro gardening. You can bring it back to your own home here in a semi-urban semi-D in Dublin or Cork or Limerick or wherever you're living. And people are really taking that away today as well. So it's getting the message across.
Yeah, no, and I will give you credit on it, Joan. Horticulturally, it is absolutely spot on. There is very little, if anything, that I could criticise. There's nothing. Again, double underlined it, horticulturally. You pretty much nailed it. What was the judge's feedback? And again, if you're not aware, in non-show garden building land, number one, it's not real gardening either, and I should in every single show garden that you've ever seen. But the judges do give feedback at the end of it. What words did they have to say?
It was very, very, very positive. Theatrical was what they said. So that's kind of, you know, I said, well, I do come from a theatrical background, and that's what it's like. It's setting a stage, the show. And no actors, just plants as the divas. But it's very like that. It's the same kind of skill set. It's producing, in a way. It's production.
People tend to say to me that I did X garden year one, I did X style of garden year two, and they almost try and put a pattern together. I maybe not considered predictable in a sense. You have done one that is glorious rays of sunshine and honeymoons and palm trees, and the other is, you might say, palm tree-esque, but with a grave difference in between. I'd find it hard in any way whatsoever to predict what you might do should you return to Bloom next year or the year after. Is that a fair way to surmise it?
Yeah, well, everyone has their style, and I suppose if you're going to pick up a trait from the gardens I do, and if I'm lucky enough to get back next year, you're going to have to guess where I'm going to take you next year.
Well, that's the thing, Joan. I'm trying to guess, and I just can't put my head in it.
I can't tell you. If I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
Wow, there you go. I might end up as compost somewhere, and there you go. David, what's in it for Goal? I don't mean that to sound as it's being asked, but why does Goal do gardens like this? Why get involved? What's in it?
Well, it's advocacy, Peter. You know, it's raising awareness. I mean, this is a massive issue, this rural to urban migration. And it's part of our brief, it's part of our mandate to try and raise these issues with the public. This is something we've never done before. But I was a fan of Bloom. I've been here, you know, the last few years. I saw the Concern Garden a few years ago, which was great. And we just decided this was something we wanted to do, and just use this as a platform to get a message across to the public. And it's only day two, but it seems to be working so far. People seem to be interested in the garden. They seem to get what we're trying to communicate to them. And I think so far, come back to me on Monday, but so far so good.
For those who may be considering it in the future, Goal, Concern, other charities may be in mind, and equally those who are not of charitable status, would you have any words to give to them as regards getting involved with a garden designer and how they should maybe go about it?
I would say it's a big project. You know, it's a really big project. You need to have the staff there. You need to really invest time in it. The guys in Bloom are great. I mean, they work with you. Getting your brief in and work with you and what you want to do. And I mean, Joan's design came back to us, and we looked at it straight away and we loved it. You know, it was really, really, that's what we were looking for. So I would say I would highly recommend it. And I would say that, you know, it's not something that you'd kind of do as a you know, a by the by. You need to invest time in it, and you'll get the rewards out of it if you do.
Joan, a case of you found the right partner. What did one garden designer say to me? He said it's like find the right wife, he said, in the space of 6 months. Is that a fair way to put it? Did you find the right woman or man in your life overnight?
I think so. I mean, the team at Goal have been amazing and really, really supportive and encouraging, and, you know, we couldn't have asked for better. And I hope I was the right designer for them. I think so. We got a gold medal, so I think we nailed it together.
Goal got Goal. Well, what do you think about that? I tell you something. If there was a garden that you could take elements out of, and it sounds surprising, again, Goal's work, great, fantastic work in mind. To be very fair, horticulturally, would I take parts of it and bring it home to my own? Yeah, you would. Yeah, That's a real gem, you know. Don't get me wrong. Show gardening is show gardening, and as my dad would say, Elvis didn't always wear that suit when he was frying an egg downstairs or making a cup of tea. But it's the ultimate compliment when another garden designer, if I might call myself that, compliments you and to this Joan and Goal, extremely well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, David, and thanks, Joan. Congratulations on getting gold. It is 103.2 Dublin City FM. And just to finish off the show, some things to note that you might be interested in coming up this June from the 17th to the 28th. So it's already begun. A Noriga annual photographic exhibition at the Botanic Gardens. It's into its 77th year. It's organised by a Noriga photographic group and it features a wide range of prize winning images from 2014, including a section exploring images from the National Botanic Gardens. That's at the Visitor Centre and it's daily at the Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin. Coming up today, tomorrow and Sunday in Dublin is the Dublin Garden Festival. That's happening at Christchurch and there's lots of things happening. Basically, you look at their programme, it's a who's who of people who've been on the Sod Show. We've got Fiona Nulon, we've got Jane McCorkle, we haven't had Eamon Dunphy in conversation with Ivan Yates, Trevor Sargent, Helen Dillon, Jerry Daly, Denise Dunn. It's all going down at Christchurch. Tickets are about £6 for adults and it's on for 3 days. You've just got to dive in to dublingardenfestival.ie and check out the details. Get in touch with us at Sod Show on Twitter. Thanks to Katrina Redmond who keeps us checked on the blogs and the podcast. To our sponsors, Green Sacks, compostable bags for home and garden. Thanks to them. To everybody back at base at Dublin City FM for their Trojan work that they do throughout the year. I'm Brian Green. Until next Friday at 3 p.m. Do take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.